Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Power Up Living with Kelly Gallia, the show for seekers and doers looking for more freedom, flexibility, and fun in life and business. Let's get energized, get motivated, and get into action. It's time to power up, tune into the possibilities, and amplify your life. Hi, everyone. This is Kelly, and it's time to make selling fun again. With us today is Hugh Little, the sales wizard at Red Cap Sales Coaching and Elite Sales Academy, where you can learn to make selling easy, fun, and profitable. Hugh's sales training and coaching comes from over 44 years of in-the-field sales and sales management experience, so you can get real-life experience from his teaching, not just something out of a textbook. Hugh is the author of Take the Icky and Scary Out of Sales, which is available in paperback or Kindle versions, both at Amazon.com. He's also a radio talk show host right here on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. When Hugh isn't teaching salespeople, he's home in Sebring, Florida with his wife Priscilla, Jasmine the dog, the adorable Pomeranian, and Mooch and Minnie the cats. He plays guitar and bass, sings, writes music, and records it. He also enjoys reading and watching Shark Tank on Saturday mornings. How about The Prophet, Hugh? Do you like that too?
You know what? I haven't seen that one.
Check that out. Make a note to yourself. Welcome
right.
to the show, Hugh.
Hi. Glad to be here, Kelly. At my age, I'm glad to be anywhere.
Well, Hugh, we are going to have a blast today, and if you've heard Hugh before or if you were able to catch my appearance on his show, you know he is a lot of fun. So we're going to take this topic of sales, which can be very icky and scary. We're going to have a lot of fun today. So as you heard me talk about in the intro to the show, Hugh refers to himself as the sales wizard. So, Hugh, how did you come up with this nickname?
Well, it actually started off as a joke between my wife, Priscilla, and me. And one day, I don't know why, I was getting ready to go out the door to go to the office, and I just looked at her, and I started to sing, "I'm off to be the wizard, the wonderful wizard of sales." And she laughed, and I laughed, and we still do that now. Whenever I leave to go to the office, I have to sing to her. So I had Eric Lures on my radio program. And Eric is just a great marketing guy. And one of the things that he talked about is that if you can come up with some kind of a fun mascot that helps people really notice you and remember you, then that's a really good thing to do. And I thought, the sales wizard. I think I'll call myself that. Because wizards, they do wonderful things, you know, in the song The Wizard of Oz. That's why people go to see the wizard, because of the wonderful things that he does. So I want to do wonderful things for business owners and for salespeople and help them take the icky and scary out of sales. And I just thought that that was really fitting. And the reason that also wizards are very, very good at what they do. And there's a reason that I'm really good at what I do, and that's because I made mistakes and corrected them and learned from experience for 44 years. So now my clients get to shortcut the system. They don't have to do all the dumb things I did. They can learn to do it right the first time, and they can be wizards too.
Good. We love those shortcuts. And as we know, Hugh, everyone is in sales. And you know, I think that in your book, actually, you may have mentioned Zig Ziglar. I know we talked about Jim Rohn and things before, but Zig Ziglar actually said, maybe you don't hold the title of a salesperson, but if the business you are in requires you to deal with people, you, my friend, are in sales. And, you know, in the face of this reality, we've mentioned that you have this fun book. Why does sales have such a negative reputation? Why, when we even hear the word sales, sometimes we just cringe? Like, help us to have a better definition of it.
Almost anybody and everybody that's old enough to have bought something and have had a conversation with a salesperson have come up against someone who is high pressure. Their whole goal is to get you to do what they want you to do, and their whole goal is to make a commission.
Mm-hmm.
And so they argue and they cajole and they shame and they give you a hard time and they talk and talk and talk and they won't leave, and it's icky and it's scary. And unfortunately, there are people that are still selling that way today. Now, I'll tell you a story about when I first started in selling back in the early 70s. I went to one of the big seminars that they do in the arenas, and they have all these different motivational speakers and sales trainers and real estate trainers, and folks come in and talk, and you spend a whole day there. One of the motivational sales trainers came out, walked up to the front of the stage, put his hand in his pocket, and he said, "Your prospects have your money in their pockets, and your job is to do everything short of going to jail to get the money out of their pockets and into yours."
Oh, my gosh.
That's how selling was taught back in the day, and that's why selling has such a bad reputation, is because salespeople are taught to sell in a way where their focus is in the wrong place, where they're trying to do tricky or manipulative things to get their prospects to do what the salesperson wants them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's icky and it's scary, and we don't want to do it that way anymore. And in fact, my life goal is to change the world's attitude about sales and salespeople.
So what do we want to be thinking of sales as then? Because obviously we don't want these images of the stereotypical sleazy used car salesman. I mean, everybody hears that and you automatically have the picture of the guy and how he's behaving. So what do we want to replace that with? How should we be defining sales for ourselves?
Selling is really a matter of taking an idea, a concept, a vision, or even a product that you're totally excited about, and encouraging someone else to be as excited about that as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you another example. Now, my wife, Priscilla, would be one of the people who would say, "I'm not a salesperson. I don't like sales. I would never want to do that. I could never do that. I can't sell." That beautiful lady talked me into moving from Colorado to Florida. And I'm kind of a Colorado boy, and she came up with all kinds of really, really great incentives and reasons why I would be so happy if I moved down here.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I got down here, and I love it. There are some things I miss about Colorado, but driving in snow and shoveling it aren't two of those things. And so
exactly.
I'm really happy, especially this time of year. You know, it just tickles me to death. But you see, she sold me, because she was enthusiastic about moving here. She really wanted to do that. And she helped me get excited about the concept of moving here, too.
Good.
And that's really all that selling is. Now, there are a set of mindsets and skills that are absolutely essential if you're going to be really, really good at selling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not rocket science. Anybody can learn to do it, and it doesn't have to be sleazy, icky, scary. It really doesn't.
Good. Well, we're going to get to those mindsets in a little bit, but I do want to know what suggestions you have for taking the scary out and getting rid of the fear in selling. So for those of us, we're entrepreneurs, we're business owners, right? If we're not selling, if we're not being excited about an idea, a concept, a vision, a product, and bringing others along on our journey and exciting them and inspiring and motivating them to do something, right? We're out of business. So how can we take that scary out and lose that fear?
Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think is the biggest fear that people have around selling? Why is that such a scary thing? What is it they're afraid of?
Well, what I've heard from my clients is they're afraid someone's going to say no.
Yeah, and why is it that people are afraid to say no?
They're afraid of rejection.
They see that as being rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the concept that I believe and that I teach, and that is that if somebody tells you no, that says absolutely nothing at all about you. It doesn't say anything about the kind of person you are, how valuable you are, how good you are at what you do. It
mm-hmm.
says nothing at all about your company and how good your company is. It says nothing at all about your product or service and how good it is. What it says volumes about is the person who told you no, because it's about their perception. It's about their opinion. It's about what they want to do or what they don't want to do. It has nothing to do with you at all. Somebody told me one time that what other people think of you is none of your business.
Right.
I think it's just such a great concept. And even if a no was rejection, even if I said to you, Kelly, I'm not going to do business with you because I just don't like you.
I'd say, well, that's okay, fine. I guess that's your opinion.
That's my opinion. That's right. It doesn't say anything at all about your value or the value of what you're doing. And so I think that another thing that enters into it is that we all tell ourselves stories about outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they're negative when it comes to thinking about selling. And it always comes out as a what if. Well, what if I ask those people for an appointment, or I ask them for the sale, or I ask them for a referral, or I ask them some questions when they have an objection, and they think I'm being pushy and aggressive?
Mm-hmm.
What if they go tell all their friends that I'm pushy and aggressive, and then they don't want to do business with me? What if nobody wants to do business with me, and everybody hates me, and I don't make any money, and, you know, I have to close my business? What if, you know, all of those things?
Right.
And
spinning out of control over the what ifs, yes.
Yeah, and Mark Twain said, I'm an old man, and I've seen much trial and tribulation in my life, most of which never happened.
Yep. And I think about that all the time.
And, you know, most of the time when we do ask, if we ask in a very respectful, very kind way, people do their very best to comply, to help us, to work with us, or at least to be very, very nice to us if they do tell us no. And
right.
Most of the things that we're afraid of selling-wise don't ever happen. Even if you're being rejected, listen, I've been selling for 44 years, and if rejection was fatal, if no's were fatal, I'd been dead a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because I've been told no a whole lot. And I've managed a lot of salespeople. I've never seen anybody hear no and fall over dead. And I've taught loads and loads of salespeople to be really good at sales, and they've taken those, and they're still alive. So there's nothing really drastic that's going to happen. Nobody's going to pull a gun out and shoot you because you asked them for a sale or you asked them for an appointment. So if we're going to make up stories, let's make up really positive stories. Let's make our what-ifs positive what-ifs.
Yeah.
What if I ask them for the sale and they say yes, and I have a new client? What if they go out and tell all of their friends how great I am and all their friends are calling me and want to do business too? And what if all of them say yes? What if I make a whole lot of money? What if I get rich? Woohoo! You know, life is great.
Yeah, woohoo!
And I have a friend up in Colorado who is also a sales coach, and I love how she handles situations where she goofs up or makes a mistake, or somebody says no, or things don't go the way they should, or, you know, even if she really messes up a sales conversation, she just looks at herself in the mirror and says, well, at least I'm hot. So we don't have to beat ourselves up,
right,
you know, about things. And no's aren't going to kill us. They're not the end of the world. And if we can really get that concept, that's the first piece of it. The second thing is that if our intention and our goal is to help other people solve their problems and get what they want and need, if we're in an attitude of serving and helping, it takes all the scary out of it.
Mm.
If I'm trying to get somebody to do what I want them to do and I'm trying to manipulate them into doing that, that could be really scary and icky and awful. If what I'm trying to do is help them and serve them, that's not scary at all.
No, not at all. That's what we're doing every day, right?
That's right.
Right in line with it. Perfect. So, Hugh, you mentioned this phrase a couple times about sales conversations. And
mm-hmm.
I know that in your book you talked about the importance of stopping doing something, which is doing sales presentations. So
yes.
Tell us how the two fit together, sales presentations, sales conversations. What do we need to start doing if we're stopping these sales presentations?
Well, in old-time sales, Kelly, if I were to come to sell you my product or service, I would expect you to sit and listen to me while I go on and on and on about how wonderful my product and service is and how great I am and what a wonderful company I have and how great our customer service is and just, you know, that you really ought to buy this. And at the end of it, I would say, so, you know, wouldn't you like to buy some of this, whatever it is that I'm selling?
Mm-hmm.
That's a sales presentation. It's all about telling people about your product or service and having them listen to you. A sales conversation is much different. In a sales conversation, you need to be spending much more time asking questions and listening than you're spending telling people about your product or service. And, in fact, I believe that if you're spending more time telling people about yourself, your company, your product or service, then you are asking questions about what's going on with them,
mm-hmm.
that you're committing sales malpractice.
Yeah, I totally agree. Oh, my gosh.
And so it's about, really, a sales conversation is about what your prospective client thinks, how they feel, what they want, what they need, what their situation is, what they're afraid of, just all of those things, what their goals are, what they want to accomplish. And once you know that, and once you know what their needs are and what they feel emotional about and, you know, what's going on for them, then if your product or service can solve a problem or if it can provide something that they need to have what they want, then if you can communicate to them clearly what's in it for them,
mm-hmm.
if they utilize your product or service and how it will help them solve their problem, what they can have as a result of that, then you typically have a sale. So the sales conversation, obviously it has to include more than one person doing the talking, and actually you should let your prospective client do most of the talking in a sales conversation.
Absolutely. So, Hugh, if someone in our audience is thinking what they want to need is some more Hugh, how do they get in touch with you and find out more about what you're up to?
Well, there's a couple of things that they can do. My website address is redcapsalescoaching.com. And, yes, I do wear a red cap almost all the time. Priscilla makes me take it off when I go to sleep at night. But my business actually was named for the cap. So redcapsalescoaching.com.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go to redcapsalescoaching.com, up in the right-hand corner of the homepage, there's a little sales wizard. And when they click on that little sales wizard, it will take them to a survey. It's a very brief survey. It takes about 5 minutes to complete it. And when that survey gets submitted, then you can have a complimentary 45-minute conversation about your business and your sales with me. And there's no charge for that session and absolutely no pressure, no obligation at all. And it gives you an opportunity to just talk about some of the things that are going on for you sales-wise and get a few really good sales tips. And we'll explore just a little bit whether our services, our coaching services, would be a good fit for you or whether they wouldn't. The other place that you can go is a website called EliteSalesAcademy.com. And when you go there, you'll get information about a 24-module online sales training program that's just absolutely phenomenal. And it covers everything from mindset to prospecting, how to have an effective sales conversation, time task management, and even how to sell to personality styles who are different than you. So that's available. And right now, if you go to that website, and if you'd like to take advantage of the program, you can save $500 from the cost of the program. So those are a couple of different ways that you can get more information and some help with selling if you need it.
Okay, very good. So the first was EliteSalesCoaching.com, and then we have EliteSalesAcademy.com. And because of this grand opening that you're doing with it, you can save $500. That is awesome, Hugh. So we'll put both of those links out on the resources section of the episode post later on today. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're most welcome.
So we mentioned mindset earlier, and on this show, we actually talk about mindset all the time. So share with us why mindset is so important in sales. I mean, we've touched on it a little bit here, but what are some of the most important areas where our thinking may need a bit of an adjustment?
First of all, mindset is important because what you receive from your prospective clients is exactly what you're putting out energy-wise. It's like a mirror. And so if your mindset is that you're afraid, guess what you get back from your prospect?
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid. If you're confident and you know what you're talking about and you really do have some great stuff and you know it, you're confident in yourself, you're confident in your company, you're confident in your product and service, then that's going to inspire confidence in the people that you're talking with. Maybe one of the most important things about mindset is what we talked about earlier about that attitude of helping and serving.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's an unseen energy that passes between salesperson and prospect. And if our thinking, if our focus is on, I need a commission, I need to make a sale, I need to get them to do what I want them to do.
Right. Me. Yeah.
The sales manager is kind of upset with me, and if I don't sell something pretty soon, I'm going to lose my job. I have a stack of bills on my desk, and I don't know how I'm going to pay them this month. If I don't make some sales, I've got to make a sale. And if we go into the sales conversation with that on our mind, if that's our mindset, or even if our mindset is just the concert or the party that we're going to go to after work today,
mm-hmm.
then our focus is in the wrong place. And the challenge with that is our prospective client feels that.
Yes.
And they know that we're focused on something besides them. It's so important to keep our focus on the prospective client, on their wants, their needs, you know, all of those things. And our intention is to help them and serve them and to assist them in doing what they want to do rather than trying to get them to do what we want them to do.
Yeah.
It's a major difference mindset-wise.
That is. We talked earlier, too, about, you know, making this more fun, like, to me, if we're not passionate or excited about the thing that we're doing, whether we're providing a service, we have a product we're offering, you know, if we don't bring that fun and excitement and that attitude, obviously that's going to come right into those sales conversations.
There's really only two things when you initially meet someone that you're going to have a sales conversation with. You know, the old saying that you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Mm-hmm.
There's really only two things that your prospect is thinking about and wondering about when they sit down with you and they know they're going to have a sales conversation with you. The first one is this going to be fun? Am I going to have a good time? Or is this going to be a bummer? Is this going to be a downer? You know, is this person going to just talk my ear off and, you know, argue with me and give me a hard time or try to shame me into doing something that I don't want to do? And so that's the first thing. The second thing is this going to be worthwhile?
Yeah.
The time that I'm going to spend with this person, is it going to be something of value to me? See, our prospective clients and even our clients are always thinking, what's in it for me? How is this going to help my life be better or happier or more productive or more profitable or what's it going to do for me? So we really do have to make that good first impression. And again, it all comes back to mindset. What are we thinking? What's our intention? And what's our attitude? What are we projecting out to that person? And remembering that we're going to get back, if we're happy and excited, they're going to be happy and excited. If we're depressed and down in the dumps, they're going to be depressed and down to the dust. So it's very much a matter of what you see is what you're putting out.
Yeah, I so agree, Hugh. And I know that you offer a lot of techniques and tips to help people with the mindset piece, both through your book and the Elite Sales Academy. But I do want to ask, besides mindset, what are some of the skills that a salesperson, which really means everyone listening in, we're all in sales, what skills must be developed to be successful?
Even though when you're selling, you're having a conversation, it's extremely important to know what to say and how to say it and when to say it. I am a big believer in scripting. I think that a sales conversation, your part of the sales conversation, needs to be very carefully scripted out, and you really do need to know what you're going to say. And that's not so that you can manipulate somebody or get them to do what you want them to do. There are just some things that need to happen in a particular order that they need to happen in to move the conversation to the point where that prospect can make up their mind about whether they want to take advantage of your product or service or whether they don't. And that's very different than I've got to get them to buy. I've got to get them to buy my product or service. No, we just want to take them to the point where they can tell us yes or no. Wouldn't you rather hear no than, oh, I don't know, let me think about it for a while?
Yeah, absolutely, because then yeah. I know which questions to ask next.
That's right. And so it's a matter of knowing what to say so that you can set the direction of the conversation. You're not going to manipulate the conversation. You're not going to do their part of the conversation, but you are going to have a particular direction that you're taking it. So scripting is extremely important. And what's even more important than the words that you're going to say is to work really hard on how you're going to say the things that you're going to say. There was a study that was done at UCLA in 1964. I can't remember the name of the professor who did the study. It's an Eastern European name, and even if I could remember it, I wouldn't be able to pronounce it more than likely. But in that study, and you can find this online, they studied various aspects of communicating ideas and emotions. And when it comes to communicating those things, only 7% of the communication that goes on, that transfers from one person to the other, is the words that are said. 38% is the tonality and the voice inflection, the way that you say what you say. And the rest of it, over 50%, is facial expression and body language. What that means is that once you know what you're going to say and you memorize some things in your sales script, you have to work on how you're saying that. Mm-hmm. And you have to get very, very good at that. You're like an actor or actress in a Broadway play or in a movie. You know, Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men? What's the most famous line from A Few Good Men?
You can't handle the truth.
That's right. And the way that Nicholson did that, when he said, the truth, you can't handle the truth. He worked on that. I'll bet you he worked on that for months to say it just exactly the right way. And because he did, it became one of the most memorable lines in movie history. Well, what if he had just said, oh, the truth? No, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah. If he said it like me, we wouldn't be remembering it today.
Nobody would remember it at all, and nobody would, it wouldn't have evoked emotion. Nobody would have reacted to it at all. But because he put himself into that script, it was very, very effective. It's the same way with selling. And you need to do your script the same way every single time. And once you know what to say and how you're going to say it and when you're going to say it, you can go into any sales conversation with total confidence, and it doesn't make any difference if it's Joe Lunchbucket down the street or if it's the president of the Fortune 500 company. You're going to talk the same way. You're going to say the same things. You're going to be the same person, and you're going to do it the same way every time, and it's going to be effective every single time. So I would say that that's probably the major skill that people have to develop is just to learn how to have an effective sales conversation and have help with their scripting so that they're doing it really effectively.
Well, Hugh, we have all really enjoyed these tips that you shared with us today and really setting our mindset, developing these skills, having a great attitude, and having a whole lot more fun with sales. So let our audience know one more time where they can go to learn more about you and get started talking with you about their businesses and their sales.
Sure. You can go to redcapsalescoaching.com, click on the little wizard up in the corner, and take the survey. It just takes you about 5 minutes. It's 12 really quick questions, multiple choice, no big deal. And when you've completed that, we'll schedule some time together. You can have 45 minutes to talk about your sales, talk about your business, ask questions. I'll try to give you some tips to help you in your sales process, and we'll talk a little bit about whether my coaching services would be a good fit for you or whether they wouldn't. There's no charge at all for that session, and there's no obligation and no pressure ever. The other thing that you can do is go to EliteSalesAcademy.com and get some information about that online sales training program. You'll just learn some absolutely awesome stuff. And by the way, when you invest in that program, you also get membership in a private website where you get all kinds of blogs and videos and a weekly telephone call with me where you can ask questions about sales and a whole bunch of other stuff. And right now, if you go to the website and if you decide that you'd like to invest in that program, you'll save $500.
And Hugh, I have a quick question on that. When is that good through? What's the time period on that?
We're going to do that for another couple of weeks.
Okay. And everyone listening in, if I can get some more details or dates around that, I will certainly update the show resources and keep you apprised of it. All right. Well, Hugh, thanks again. It has been so much fun and such a pleasure to get your tips on how to make selling fun again and take that icky and scary right out of it. Thanks for being with us today.
Kelly, it's always fun talking with you, and you just absolutely rock. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thanks for joining us for the Power Up Living Show with Kelly Gallia. For more resources and tips to help you experience more freedom, flexibility, and fun in life and business, visit powerupliving.com.